Blog Talk Radio.
I'm here.
Hey, Dan, what's going on?
I'm here.
No.
We're having some bad weather up here in Lake George, so my phone's going in and out, so bear with me, okay?
Okay, we'll work through it.
We are the Borg. Lower your shield and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
Well, with that, we're going to start our show. Here we are live in our mobile studio up in Lake George, New York. We're having a hell of a storm up here, so I may drop in and out. So you may be stuck with Dan, which is not a bad thing, right, Dan?
Some days.
Some days. So let's just jump right in here. Did you get a chance to look at the Assimilation Prime Target that was posted?
I did kind of review it. I didn't get into it too much. I see that they're talking about you. It's about WizKids bringing most of the HeroClix over.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I have HeroClix games, but not in the Hero. I have Fleet Captains? That's a HeroClix game, but I've never played with the smaller HeroClix individual things. I don't have any idea how that would work into it.
Well, I used to have a shop, and we used to sell what they called Mage Knight, which was done by WizKids. It was a click game, the same as the HeroClix and the Tactics for Star Trek. Really popular game. I don't understand why WizKids wouldn't make a combination game using the flight path system and the click system so that you can have different shields and different arcs, kind of similar to what they're doing with the new Star Wars Armada game.
Yeah, I seen the demo for the Star Wars Armada game. Definitely a lot going on, so hopefully they streamline it a little bit more user-friendly.
And, you know, before we get started, I'd like to mention that the winner of the ITS Catan is Paul Chappell. He was lucky number 13, so he wins the ITS Catan and all the great OP stuff that goes along with that. So if you're listening, Paul, just shoot me a message with your mailing address so I can get that out to you. Once again, congratulations to Paul Chappell, and I'll be posting his name on the Facebook page as well.
Congratulations.
So that worked out really well. But anyways, Terry put up the video on the Assimilation Prime, Target Prime, which is basically the Enterprise D from the alternate universe. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, that was the Enterprise D that was seen at the end of the episode, All Good Things, when the Enterprise came out of this time warp and there was literally hundreds of Enterprises all around from all different times, and one of them happened to be Captain Riker with a funky hairdo on the Enterprise where the Federation had been overrun by the Borg. Now, this particular ship is the prize ship, similar to Deep Space Nine for the Dominion Wars. You get five versions of the Enterprise D, all alternate universe. I think two of them are Borg versions, I believe. You get some Borg cards and standard upgrade cards. The one thing I like about it, though, is the alternate universe cards can be used in tandem with the regular universe cards, so you can have an alternate universe wharf and a regular wharf together, which is pretty cool. What do you think about that game dynamic, Dan?
I'm kind of looking forward to the mirror universe ships and the alternate universe ships and crew. It's kind of strange to think about it. But basically, with the alternate versions of things, some of the stuff that the earlier ships that WizKids first brought out, they can turn around and issue, like, do subtle changes to improve them and then say, oh, it's from the alternate universe. So they can improve it but still not make it look like they're fixing something they screwed up. So I think this opens a door for them to not only give us new ships that we may already have just with twists to them, it also gives them a door to open up to say, okay, let's go ahead and tweak this here and tweak that there to correct certain issues with the earlier waves.
Now, I couldn't really tell from the video, so if anyone has the rules for the alternate universe, please share them on the Facebook page, but I believe that the alternate universe does not have factions. I think they're all alternate universe, so you can use Klingons, whatever, all on any ship that has an alternate universe marker on it. Is that what you got out of that, Dan?
I haven't looked at the card super close, so I don't want to say that's what I think. It kind of makes sense. At the same time, then it also makes the alternate universe like uber powerful because you can basically take all the great parts of it and make it into one ship. So if that is true, that kind of makes me nervous. Are we going to have the new meta game type here coming in the next 5 months?
Well, as of right now, the only alternate universe ships that I have seen available, of course, are the ISS Enterprise, the Defiant, the Regency One, which was Worf's ship. They'll probably have an alternate universe, Deep Space Nine. Whether or not they put out more ships than that, I don't know, but this gives people a chance to cross-faction without actually cross-factioning.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it sounds like a great plan. It just makes me really nervous because then you will have a situation where you can take all the most powerful cards and put them all on the same ship because most OP events that I have participated in and seen, it's meta or it's pure. So in other words, if you're running the one ship's a Klingon and one ship's a Federation, you can have those two different ships, but all Federation ships have only Federation characters and parts, and Klingon ships have only Klingon ships and parts. If you get an environment where all of them are interchangeable in the alternate universe, then you can take the best of each piece, put it onto one ship, and you go, well, it's alternate universe pure, and then it's going to go ahead and just rule out most of your standard old Federation ships and Klingon ships, Romulan ships. So it makes me a little bit nervous that they go with that.
Well, that all goes on the assumption that they release all ships as alternate universe ships. I'm not sure how many. Actually, so far, WizKid has been pretty good. They've been sticking to strictly canon ships so far. Every ship that's been released and every character and every card so far has been directly from a TV show. They're not branching off into comic books and paperbacks, manuals and other games are sticking strictly to canon, which would lead me to believe that there's only five or six alternate universe ships that come to mind.
Right, but this alternate universe ship that you're talking about, this alternate Enterprise D, it really is very fringe canon. I mean, if we're going to just take a ship and produce a whole release on it, over a 10-second or 20-second clip in one episode, well, then we have... Now, what about they talked about ships, and versus showing them and things like that. That's very fringe for them to put in there that, yeah, it could cause a lot of issues if they just go, okay, well, if we just mention it, it's good to go. You know what I mean?
Obviously, they had the Defiant, which is coming out. They had the Enterprise NX-01, which will be out. They had the Columbia, I believe. In the Mirror Darkly, I think, was the ISS Columbia. They had a couple of support ships in that episode. There were some Vulcan ships in that episode. There were some Tholian ships in that episode. On Deep Space Nine, we saw the Regency and the Defiant.
Right.
We saw the ISS Enterprise in Mirror Mirror.
They also
off the top of my head.
They also had Cardassians in the Deep Space Nine one too.
That's right. They had some Cardassian ships.
Right.
And of course,
so
Space Nine itself.
Right. So if you start adding these up, you can get, it may not be as many as we have now, you know, or what's going to be standard canon, but we can still put in a 10 or 12, 15 different ships if we really want, if they really want to dig. 15 ship options where you can have Gul Dukat or somebody like that from, you know, the alternate universe, and then you got the Regent, and then you got his ship, and then you got, you know, stuff off of, you know, the other races, alternate ships, and put them on the Regent's Negvar. That could turn into a floating fortress, depending on, now this is under the condition that, you know, depending on how the cards go, I mean, and how they release it. But ultimately, if you can have any race in the that's been released between the Vulcans, the Federation, everybody else in the alternate universe, and put it on the Negvar, you could have a fortress. So that's why I'm a little bit concerned if it goes that direction.
But don't forget that the alternate universe is alternate. The ships were different. They couldn't cloak. Worf wasn't the same Worf. Gul Dukat wasn't the same Gul Dukat. The cards are different, so it wouldn't be like you'd be taking Gul Dukat and just moving him over. He's a completely different character.
Right, right. And like I said, as I stated earlier, it depends a lot on what comes out with the cards. I mean, they might just, you might find out that, okay, the releases we have now are the only alternate releases we're going to get, and all the rest of the alternates are OP ships, which we all know OP ships only have a fraction of the cards that a standard expansion has. I mean, I think what the Chitang only comes with like 6 cards or 7 cards where, you know, I go get look at the NX-01. I buy the NX-01, I'm getting 14, 15 cards.
True. Now, since we're down to 15 minutes here, this time just flies by so quick. We have to move on. Now, you talked to somebody that went down to Gen Con over the weekend, didn't you?
Yes. The local shop's owner did go down to Gen Con. He himself, as a what they consider a VIP, but it's like being a retailer. He said that WizKids, and he knows that WizKids had a big issue with the way they were doing things. He himself only got he did get a pack himself of the Gen Con exclusive. He didn't let me touch him. He says he's got one. Man's never lied to me, so he's got one. Haven't seen it. Haven't touched it, but he said, yeah, he knew there was big issues, that people were getting turned away. People were being told to come back, you know, a couple hours later, they'd come back, and it wasn't there. So for WizKids part of it, he goes, they didn't do so great. But his flip side is this also. This is not just WizKids that's done this before. This is not something new. He says this happens almost at every Gen Con. Some manufacturer or designer promises something and doesn't deliver, or doesn't deliver enough. So, yes, what's bad for WizKids, does it mean it, you know, they are special in their incompetence? No. He goes, this is pretty regularly every year somebody doesn't do the right thing. And he goes, with them saying it's going to be retail, he goes, yeah, it may not be the best answer, but it's better than other manufacturers have given.
Yeah, now there's been a big backlash because of what happened at Gen Con. Some woman got pushed and hurt her hand or something like that. But, you know, I've been to a lot of conventions, and not just gaming conventions. I've been to Star Trek conventions and sci-fi conventions and all kinds of conventions, even sporting events, baseball games. You know, whenever you get a huge crowd of people together that have a similar interest all in one place for one thing, you're bound to have that type of stuff happen. It's not specific to Gen Con, and it's not specific to WizKids. It just happens, you know. Could WizKids have handled it better? I'm sure they could have. But is it all their fault? I don't think so.
No, and I think we talked about this a little bit, about, you know, people going there, you know, and there's lots of things to see, and then they specifically going for things that do have special issues, you know, just so they can get a hold of it and sell it as you've put links in there, sometimes two, three, four, or, you know, even two times the cost. I don't agree with it, but I can kind of see it. But when these people are putting out 3, 4, 5 times the cost, you know, some people say, well, they paid for the ticket and stuff like that. But my parallel is, you know, I don't work. I get a half day off on Friday when I work. How would you like it if I went to a theater, bought all the seats out, and then because I don't work or I have the time in my hands to do that, so let's say Guardians of the Galaxy, I go in there, buy all the tickets for the theater, you want to come see it, I tell you, pay me double. That's the same thing. I have no interest in seeing the movie. I don't care about the movie. But I care about making money, and I'm going to take it out on you because I have the time and you don't. That's garbage.
Exactly. This happens. You know, I've been to baseball games where they're giving out Mike Piazza bobbleheads, and the same thing will happen. You know, if you're not there when they give them out, you don't get one. And, you know, you can try to get one. Someone in the stand might sell you one, but it happens. And I don't think it has anything to do with weird kids, and I don't think it has anything to do with Gen Con. I mean, how many copies of these ships do you think weird kids should have brought with them to handle the crowds? 1,000? 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, what would have been a good number?
I couldn't tell you, but I will give you the parallel, though. Okay? Number one, they should get an idea. They should have plenty of idea to know how many tickets were sold. Not like exact number, but say, you know, let's say 70% of it sold within 30 days prior to the show. There you go. It gives you an idea how much you should bring. Does everybody get one? No. But I'll give you, like I said, I'll give you a parallel. Car shows. Chicago Auto Show is one of the largest auto shows in the nation. In fact, I think it is the largest auto show in the nation. When I walk through that door, even though there's been 700,000 people who went there before me, I bet you I walk up there and still get a brochure. I still get a bag. I still get all those things. You know, it's a color print. It's a 3, 4, 5, 6-page color print. It's the equivalent to cards, right? About the size amount of printing of a card, right?
Well, you know what that comes down to? You know, WizKids was not just giving away Attack Wing. They had Dungeons & Dragons Attack Wing. They had a whole bunch of other games as well as Attack Wing. Now, we're just talking about Attack Wing. So if you went there just to get Attack Wing, I heard stories of the people online were getting up online and taking one of everything, even if they weren't interested in it. They were just getting it. So that's another issue altogether.
Well, right, and then on top of it, it wasn't free. It wasn't just like they were walking by and picking up. These people are literally putting money, investing money to make money, is that what it boils down to. They went in there with every impression to buy it all so they can turn around if they don't use it, which I would say, what, a quarter of them, half of them probably don't even use it. They're going to turn around and try to make money off of it, which we've already covered that a little bit, so we won't need to rehash it. But we go back to, you know, just because you can go and I can't doesn't mean I got to pay you 5 times the cost for something I would enjoy and you just don't care about. I don't agree with it.
And you know, though, the one thing I got to say is that so far nothing has come out of this that's been backbreaking for the game.
No. And it should be a reflection of the game. And, you know, it might be a little bit of a reflection of WizKids, but again, this is not something that's uncommon. They didn't go in there with the purpose of, I think we're going to go ahead and screw some people. They went in there, you know, whether it was logistics that brought them short, if they didn't get informed how many people would be interested, if they didn't, you know, if they didn't sit there and say, listen, you know, the first 1,000 people that show up or first 500 people that show up can purchase this. And then when those people either buy it or pass on it, put it back in a stock, put it in this thing, maybe sell it at the last day, or maybe put it out there on their webpage or something like that. You know, there was ways to handle it, and they did very little to handle it.
Now, what do you think about these limited edition ships like the OP prize ships and the blind boosters and Gen Con card and things like that? I've heard a lot of people complain that they're not going to play the game anymore because they can't get all the ships and all the pieces, and they're going to go play something else, and they're going to abandon it. I just think that's foolish because there hasn't been a ship that's been issued so far that I can't live without. And the one ship that did come out that I really wanted to have, which was the IKS Chitang, and congratulations to Paul Patel, who won that in our raffle this month. Little plug. I had to go to eBay and buy that for $50. That's because I play Klingons and I wanted that particular ship. But I could have lived without it. Do you think that's good for the game or bad for the game?
If you're going to not play a game because you can't have everything you want, well, here's the deal. In life, I don't have everything I want, but I don't check out on life. So, you know, you do the best with what you can. It's fun. Do things fun. If you want something that you can't get a hold of, give it a little time. Like the Chitang. If you go out to eBay right now the Chitang is half the price it was when it first came out. A little patience, a little time, I'm sure you can get what you want. If not, there are some great people here that could help you, cough, cough, us, that can take a certain amount of requests. We can at least increase the chances of you getting those things. For example, the Chitang. You told me that people wanted the Chitang. Guess what? We produced another box of Chitang.
Yes, and we're going to continue to do that for you guys, which is a great segue here for our last few minutes. We're going to be doing some more of these raffles. We're going to continue to do them. We're also going to be doing something special on the show when we extend the show to our full 2 hours. We're going to have all kinds of prizes for you guys. All you got to do is call us and win. It's going to be pretty simple. We're going to have some type of a password or a trivia question that we're going to ask on the previous show. And if you call and you can tell us what that was, you might win a Raven, for instance. We're going to be changing things up a little bit to get you guys more involved and have a lot more fun with this and give you guys some free stuff for being our dedicated fans. We're also in the midst of having a Borg lighted ship raffle, which you may have seen on our Facebook page. Dan's working on that as well. How's that coming, Dan? Any progress?
We pretty much have 90% of the work done. All we have to do is figure out when we want to do it. Because I think, are we going to do the raffle that we discussed a couple days ago for this week?
Yes, we are. We're going to have a grab bag raffle for this week. We have some ships left over, and whoever wins can choose which ship they want. You still get all the OP stuff that goes with it. You still get the Deep Space Nine and the Fleet Captain cards and everything else. You just get to pick the ship, and that's what we're going to do for this week's raffle. It's got your grab bag.
Right. What we're going to do is we're going to put out what ships we have in stock currently, and if you're interested in any of those ships, if you win the raffle, you get to pick the ship. It's not, it will be the Raven, it will be this. It's going to be, here's my stock, pick which one you want. Congratulations.
Right, we're going to give you guys the option to decide what ships you're going to get. So I think it'll work out pretty well for everybody involved. This should be fun. You know, and if you're missing a particular ship for your collection or a ship that you missed during the OP events, then this is your opportunity.
So good luck. Hopefully we'll have people, once we tell them what ships we have, hopefully we'll have some people really interested.
And we've got some good stuff coming up in the future, so stay tuned for that. We're down to 3 minutes, Dan. Anything you want to say in closing?
Okay. So the deal is, I'll give you a real quick breakdown of what we're going to do. When the 2 hour show comes up, not a set schedule, but at least a loose frame. So you get the information that you get specific information at specific times. We're going to have the ability for you guys to call in. We'll have questions, participate in conversation. We're going to look at individual expansion packs. We'll talk about some of the tactics and what we think they intended. We'll actually go into what ships we think they should bring and what we expect from this for the cards for that particular ship. So I think we have a good structure down, and I'm really looking forward to moving up to have time where we don't feel like we're rushing.
Yeah, and when I was doing Mashes of Disaster with Ken, filling up the time was not a problem, especially when we get people calling in to share their thoughts with us. It goes by a lot quicker when it's a two-way street. We'll get there. We'll get there. It's just this half hour is hard for people by the time they hear us and what we're saying and get their thoughts together to call. We're out of time. So once we go to live callers, I think it'll pick up quite a bit, and we'll have more time to talk in greater depth about these different issues. So that'll be good for everybody all the way around.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. Really am.
Now, did you say you're collecting the Eagle Moss ships, right?
Yes.
Now, could those be adapted to be used in Star?
You have to change the bases, or you have to make bases for them because they have no stats and they have no module to lock in your turns and your movements would be bigger, and so would be the table because they're anywhere from 4 to 7 times larger than a standard attack wing ship. So it'd be a little the sizing would be a little goofy, which brings up a real quick note. We were discussing whether to raffle off Eagle Moss ships, so we might want to put that in there and say, you know, some of the higher ones like an E or a Nebula or something like that. Might look into that, too.
Yeah, we have a lot of options. We have a lot of things planned for you guys in the future, so just stick around and be patient with us. Give us some time. We're still working this out. Eventually, we'll get it right down to a science, and you guys will be glad you stuck with us.
Yes. If nothing less, my voice is entertaining.
Yeah. Dan's a good guy, so you guys can call and harass Dan all you want. You can get him on our Facebook page, too, so don't worry about that. But we're down to a minute and a half. Wow. where does the time go? So listen, guys, don't get upset about the game. I mean, I've only played in 2 OP events. I don't play in OP events because I play the game for fun. You know, I'm not there to come up with a supercard combo to kill you in one shot. I want to have fun. So I play pure. I play Klingons. And that's all I do. I don't throw Lakiris on a Klingon ship. I don't do that kind of crazy stuff. I try to play Star Trek pure, Star Trek realistic like I would see on the show, and have fun. And that's what the game is all about, is having fun, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Me and my brother play. Me and my wife play. You know, I don't sit there and try to study the cards to the point that I just smoke them and make it boring for them. You know, there's a certain amount of interaction and smack talking. I mean, ultimately, it's fun to smack talk when you're competing against somebody. So, make it entertaining.
Yeah. Have some fun, and with that, guys, we gotta sign off. So we'll catch you guys next week.
Yep.
Bye, Dan.
See you all next week.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.